Many years ago, there lived an emperor who thought so much of new clothes that he spent all his money in order that he might be very fine. He didn't care for his soldiers, nor for going to the play, or driving in the park, except to show his new clothes. He had a coat for every hour of the day. And just as they say of a king, he is in the council room, so they always said of him, the emperor is in his dressing room. The great city where he lived was very gay, and every day many strangers came there. One day there came two swindlers. They said that they were weavers, and said they could weave the finest cloth to be imagined. Their colors and patterns, they said, were not only exceptionally beautiful, but the clothes made of their material possessed the wonderful quality of being invisible to any man who was unfit for his office, or hopelessly stupid. "Those must be wonderful clothes," said the emperor. "If I wore such clothes, I should be able to find out which men in my empire were unfit for their places, and I could tell the clever from the stupid. Yes, I must have this cloth woven for me without delay." And he gave a lot of money to the two swindlers in advance so that they should set to work at once. They set up two looms and pretended to be very hard at work, but they had nothing whatever on the looms. They asked for the finest silk and the most precious gold. This they put in their own bags and worked at the empty looms till late into the night. "I should very much like to know how they are getting on with the cloth," thought the emperor. But he felt rather uneasy when he remembered that he who was not fit for his office could not see it. He believed, of course, that he had nothing to fear for himself. Yet he thought he would send somebody else first to see how matters stood. Everybody in the town knew what a wonderful property the stuff possessed, and all were anxious to see how bad or stupid their neighbors were. "I will send my honest old minister to the weavers," thought the emperor. "He can judge best how the stuff looks, for he is intelligent, and nobody understands his office better than he." So the good old minister went into the room where the two swindlers sat working at the empty looms. "Heaven preserve us," he thought, and opened his eyes wide. "I cannot see anything at all." But he did not say so. Both swindlers told him to come near and asked him if he did not admire the exquisite pattern and the beautiful colors. They pointed to the empty looms, and the poor old minister opened his eyes wider. But he could see nothing, for there was nothing to be seen. "Gracious," he thought, "can I be so stupid? I should never have thought so, and nobody must know it. Is it possible that I am not fit for my office? No, I cannot say that I was unable to see the cloth."
"Well, have you got nothing to say?" said one as he wove.
"Oh, it is very pretty, quite enchanting," said the old minister, peering through his spectacles. What a pattern, and what colors. I shall tell the emperor that I am very much pleased with it."
"Well, we are glad of that," said both the weavers, and they named the colors and explained the curious pattern to him. The old minister listened attentively, that he might relate to the emperor what they said, and he did so. Again, the swindlers asked for more money, more silk and gold, which they required for weaving. They kept it all for themselves, and not a thread came near the loom, but they continued, as hitherto, to work at the empty looms. Soon afterwards, the emperor sent another courtier to the weavers to see how they were getting on, and if the cloth was nearly finished. Like the old minister, he looked and looked, but could see nothing, as there was nothing to be seen. "Is it not a beautiful piece of cloth?" said the two swindlers, showing and explaining the magnificent pattern, which, however, was not there at all. I am not stupid, thought the man. Is it therefore my good appointment for which I am not fit? It is ludicrous, but I must not let anyone know it. And he praised the cloth, which he did not see, and expressed his pleasure at the beautiful colors and the fine pattern. Yes, it is quite enchanting, said he to the emperor. Everybody in the whole town was talking about the splendid cloth. At last, the emperor wished to see it himself while it was still on the loom. With a whole company of chosen men, including the two honest counselors who had already been there, he went to the two clever swindlers, who were now weaving as hard as they could, but without using any thread. Is it not magnifique? Said both the honest statesmen. Oh, will your majesty see what a pattern and what colors? And they pointed to the empty looms, for they imagined the others could see the cloth. What is this? Thought the emperor. I do not see anything at all. This is terrible. Am I stupid? Am I unfit to be emperor? That would indeed be the most dreadful thing that could happen to me. It is very fine, said the emperor. It has our highest approval. And, nodding contentedly, he gazed at the empty loom, for he did not like to say that he could see nothing. All his attendants who were with him looked and looked, and although they could not see anything more than the others, they said, like the emperor, it is very fine, and all advised him to wear the new magnificent clothes at a great procession which was soon to take place. It is magnifique, beautiful, excellent, went from mouth to mouth, and everybody seemed delighted. The emperor gave each of the swindlers the cross of the Order of Knighthood and the title of Imperial Court Weavers. All through the night, before the procession was due to take place, the swindlers were up and had more than 16 candles burning. People could see that they were busy getting the emperor's new clothes ready. They pretended to take the cloth from the loom. They snipped the air with big scissors. They sewed with needles without thread and said at last, now the emperor's new clothes are ready. The emperor with all his noblest courtiers then came in, and both the swindlers held up one arm as if they held something and said, see, here are the trousers. Here is the coat. Here is the cloak, and so on. They are all as light as a cobweb. They make one feel as if one had nothing on at all. But that is just the beauty of it. Yes, said all the courtiers, but they could not see anything, for there was nothing to be seen. Will it please your majesty graciously to take off your clothes, said the swindlers. Then we may help your majesty into the new clothes before the large looking glass. The emperor took off all his clothes, and the swindlers pretended to put the new clothes upon him, one piece after another. And the emperor looked at himself in the glass from every side. Oh, how well they look! How well they fit, said all. What a pattern! What colors! That is a splendid dress. They are waiting outside with the canopy, which is to be borne over your majesty in the procession, said the chief master of the ceremonies. Yes, I am quite ready, said the emperor. Does not my suit fit me marvelously? And he turned once more to the looking glass, that people should think he admired his garments. The chamberlains, who were to carry the train, fumbled with their hands on the ground as if they were lifting up a train. Then they pretended to hold something up in their hands. They dare not let people know that they could not see anything. And so the emperor marched in the procession under the beautiful canopy, and all who saw him in the street and out of the windows exclaimed, how
How marvelous the Emperor's new suit is. What a long train it has. How well it fits him. Nobody would let others know that he saw nothing, for then he would have been unfit for his office or too stupid. None of the Emperor's clothes had ever been such a success.
But he has nothing on at all,
said a little child.
Good heavens! Hear what the little innocent says, said the father.
And then each whispered to the other what the child said.
He has nothing on. A little child says he has nothing on at all.
He has nothing on at all,
cried all the people at last. And the Emperor, too, was feeling very worried, for it seemed to him that they were right. But he thought to himself, all the same, I must keep the procession going now. And he held himself stiffer than ever, and the chamberlains walked on and held up the train, which was not there at all.